Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducros.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. You are listening live right now to the Ducros Brothers of Sports Warriors. We are your hosts for this evening. I'm Tristan Ducros. On my side, as always, is my brother and my partner in crime, the one and only Sean Ducros. So, Tristan, we have a developing news story coming out of UFC once again. They just can't seem to stay out of their own way. Crazy that at this point that the UFC show, UFC on Fox, is right around the corner, and yet here we're talking about issues about this card, and it's a UFC on Fox show, UFC Fox 19, I believe it is, and it's going down on the weekend, and yet here we are talking about another issue. But got to give credit that one guy steps up for what is claiming to be the right thing. Absolutely. So Tristan, when you look at what's going on with the UFC, you simply got to sit back for a second and try to analyze everything from a strategic standpoint, and that is trying to figure out what exactly is going on with the UFC, because it's one thing after another when it comes to either injuries or drug-related. It's only them. You don't hear about what's going on in Bellator. You don't hear what's going on with the UFC. You only hear about UFC. It's deja vu all over again. You saw it for years with WWE and their steroid era. It's all culminating to one thing, to one organization, and not just one identity. And today you have the announcement that Lyoto Machida has been pulled off of UFC on Fox 19 due to the fact that he tested for a banned substance on his out of competition. Now, he admitted to it. Now, see, it's weird because Lyoto Machida, here's a guy that's been around the game for a while. I give him all the props in the world because he has stepped up and he admitted to taking a banned substance, whatever it may be. But the list of the banned substance is so ridiculous when you think about it, because you can get anything at the gas station, at a GNC, at your local grocery store. It doesn't matter. But with Lyoto Machida, I mean, it was in competition and out of competition that he failed.
Yeah.
And so he openly admitted that he took something. Now, he won't admit it that if it was TRT or if it was HGH or if it was an anabolic steroid. He won't admit it. All he will say is that he took a steroid. So here again, we have not only do we have Lyoto Machida actually being a man of his word and saying it. Now, if you talk to Dan Henderson, I mean, he's been very adamant on his Twitter, on his Facebook, calling Lyoto Machida a POS. As well as simply saying that, you know what, I have no respect for you anymore. I think that's a little bit too harsh because of what Lyoto Machida has done for the game. When you look at Lyoto Machida, Sean, and what he has accomplished, last time I checked, you know, he never really has been this guy that has always been caught for banned substance. He's never been this guy. So really, to call him those words, to attack his integrity, I don't know necessarily you can actually do that. But Lyoto Machida admitted openly that he did something that he was wrong. He admitted it. Now, on the other hand, when you look at Frank Mir, who has banned substance on his sample A and says that he doesn't know what he took or what he ate because he was lit. Again, you can't. It was kangaroo meat. I don't buy that. Frank Mir is now could be suspended up to two years, Sean. On this case, Lyoto Machida is probably not going to get any kind of suspension except for a slap on the wrist. So when does this become enough about these bad substances? I think you really have to start looking at this list that you have for banned substance and actually take it for what it's worth. Because if you continue to be able to go outside or inside competition and you are taking certain things, that you have no idea that it's going to cause a tainted whatever urine sample, that's not good for the sport because you're going to get more and more people that are going to be suspended. And in hindsight, Sean, look at the list of fighters that are being suspended. If it is 100% an anabolic steroid, cool. But if it's not and it's on this list, come on. We're pushing this envelope too far in this category of tainted supplements or tainted urine samples, and it's test A, test B, sample A, sample B. When is it enough? Because sample B could come back positive or clean, depending on what it is. And when you're dealing with different samples, I get where you're coming from. I get that, you know what, all these supplements are a little bit insane when it comes to what you can and cannot take. But at the bottom line, too, as a fighter, as a professional, just don't take anything. Train hard, work hard, blood, sweat, and tears, just do what you need to do. Why do you need to put anything into your body? Simple as that. You shouldn't have to put anything into your body that isn't natural. Work hard, train hard. That's it. That's what it comes down to. But these individuals are looking for that extra edge and that extra momentum swing and want to push hard for it. And that's what happens.
You know, one thing you brought up was the fact that a lot of these stars, they take supplements for health to regroup faster. And I get it. I get it.
Sean and I, we've played sports our whole entire life. We get it. But man, these athletes are looking for that next step, that next edge. But to what extent is it enough? Because at the end of the day, it's your health that's on the line. It's your career that's on the line. So why do you want to jeopardize it? This is what you want to do for a living. Why do you want to jeopardize that? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. As an athlete that did this beforehand, why would you want to jeopardize yourself? Why would you want to risk everything you've worked for? You've seen it from now, Lito Machida, John Jones, Yoel Romero. You just continue to see it down the line. At what point, when is enough enough? At what point? I mean, I saw it all earlier. Oh, they just need to limit how many supplements are on these lists of what you can and cannot take. Why? Why do you need to limit that? So you can find your loophole and find a way around it to find your success of how to cheat the system?
See, it's so interesting because We are literally on two sides of the fence right now, Sean. I say shorten the list. You say, dude, just eat right. Just do by you.
I get what you're saying. I get where the direction that you're going. But, man, if you could go to your local store and get kangaroo meat or bison or food or something or a supplement or a protein bar in your local grocery store, at your local gas station, at your local GNC shop, at your local neutral zone in Temecula, California, y'all can grab something at any point in time. So let's be real here for a minute. Everybody's talked about tainted supplements. Everybody's talked about steroids. Everybody, Sean. Everybody. But you want people to take accountability for their own actions and for what they are putting into their own body. Now,
yes.
I get that. Now, I get that.
Do you?
Well, because clearly right
no,
now
no,
you're
because,
on
one side of the spectrum.
Right. And I'm on the other.
Right, because I get what you're saying. I get the direction and the logic that you're going.
But as a fighter, as a person, there's so much more that goes into training, that goes into this. And it's all about body, putting stuff into your body to get you healthier. That's what I'm saying. Dude, one of my guys told me about my knee injury that I have, that there's new plasma technology that they are doing that they can inject into your knee. I'm thinking about it. It would cost a lot of money, but they can regenerate your own plasma tissue inside your knee to actually make it healthier. That's another issue that you have to garner some kind of health to make you better. These athletes, that's all they're doing is trying to make themselves better. But I think that there should be a cap limit to it. Should be a cap limit. But everybody allows this cycle to continue to happen and nobody steps up. That's the problem we have. That's the problem we have, Sean. Nobody continues to step up and put a cap, put a number on this, and just eliminate it. Nobody is. That's a problem. So I get what you're saying. You have weight issues that people can't cut weight naturally or healthy. So you have this new person about cutting weight, but we're not teaching how to cut weight. We're teaching you how to manage weight. Yes, no, again, that comes down with you putting whatever you put in your body. I think there has to be a better control and a better way of handling your own body in a healthy wise to take all your supplements, to take all your pills, to take all your medications. You talk to everybody in this world, Sean. If you say that you take, I take ibuprofen every single day, most of the day, for my knee to take down the inflammation. Or people take medication for headaches, or people take medication for like Vicodin, you name it. That's you talk to anybody, and that's an issue too in this world, in this day and age, Sean, is that everybody's trying to take off that edge. Nobody ever thinks about it logically anymore about what it means to be healthy. Nobody can do that. Talking about being healthy and talking about all these supplements and doing this and doing that, that's been the nature of the beast in reality for the longest time. Being healthy has been an ongoing struggle with humanity forever, whether you're doing it naturally or not naturally. And that's the thing. Everybody's looking for that way to cheat the system. Good, bad, or indifferent. You want to sit here and say that you don't try to cheat the system? You do. You have your way of doing it. Everybody has their way of doing it. When it comes to fighting and they're cutting weight, they got their way of doing it. Some people sit in a sauna and they just sweat it out. Some people need to literally bust their butts to lose the weight.
Dude, listen. Let's make this perfectly clear. Everybody puts a stigma on the sports world about it being with the steroids or with banned supplements. But let's just be real. Sean, you said it right there. Every sport, someone's cheating somewhere. I can guarantee you it. Lacrosse, trust me. You can cheat in lacrosse by bending the head in the lacrosse stick to grab the pitch a little bit narrower, so that you get a little bit more control. That's cheating. Baseball bats, you can cork them, roll them, whatever. That's cheating. People do it. Steroids, supplements, you do it. Every single sport in this world, if you haven't taken a shortcut or you haven't taken an edge, you haven't done anything to get to where you are. And if you have been that person that has sat there at the beginning and been there from day one, we'll understand what these guys are going through. Honestly, if you think about it,
it's just an athlete's perspective.
Right.
And it's stuff that you can't change, but you just want to see the people take responsibility. And that's one thing I got to give Lito Machida credit for.
He took responsibility.
And then one thing you asked me is like, oh, because you said, so what's his suspension going to be? Well, is he going to get suspended like what Frank Mir is facing? And I told you no, because he admitted to what's going on. He admitted to USADA, I took a tainted supplement. You said, so what? Is he going to get a slap on his wrist? Unfortunately, yes, because of the fact that we are a forgiving society.
This is true.
You own up to your mistakes. We'll pat you on the back and say, my man, you are good.
Carry on your business.
Lito Machida, while Dan Henderson had some choice words about him, I'd say, my dude, you are legit. You've got my respect for coming out and say,
my bad, I took something.
I don't think
it's right to fight.
I took this. I know I took this. I took X, Y, and Z. I didn't know that it was on the banned supplement list on the inside and outside of it, but I took this. I own that. Bravo for you. You are the first one to admit openly I did something that I shouldn't have done. When you look at it and you look across the board and you look at Frank Mir, and Frank Mir says, I don't know what I took. What did I take? I have no idea what I took. You may want to go ask my wife. Or he wants to go back 5 days and actually relive everything that he visited, ate, drank, whatever, from 5 days ago, and expects to get the positive. This is beyond stupid at this point. He's 37 years old, Frank Mir. Dude, you're done. Cut it off. He knows he's done. 2 year suspension, steroids. I don't care if his B sample comes back healthy. Dude, you're done. Pack it up. Throw it away. Have a nice trip. You will finish your career in the UFC in the last, what, 8 fights? He's 2-6. And he's gotten knocked out quite a lot. I can see why he's probably saying, well, I can't remember what day-to-day I had for dinner. I get it. But, you know, these people need to take responsibility and own up to what's going on in their world and be accountable for what's going on. If you don't, then unfortunately that's your downfall. But for Frank Mir's sake, for what he's done for the game, for what he's done for heavyweight, I will do exactly what he posted on Facebook, and that is say, you know what? I'll hold my judgment. I want to know what the second sample is going to say for his future. Then if it comes out, maybe I'll be a little bit more aggressive towards him. But he's done a lot for the game, so you got to give him a little bit of leeway at this point. He's done a lot for the game. He's been exciting for the game. He's done things that heavyweights haven't done. So you know what? Frank Mir, I hope for your sake, you're on.
He's right. Exactly. And he's on the up and up that it was just kangaroo meat. There you go.
I hope he's right. But, Sean, everybody's listening right now to the Sports Warriors. We got UFC Fox 19 preview. We got Bellator 152 heating up. But first, we want to give a shout-out to one of our new sponsors. Is that, it's TICDA. TICDA. Today, I can do anything. What motivates you to be the best you? That's what we are about. We've told everybody that we are not your stereotypical combat sports talk show. There's so much more that we invest our times and our lives into. And we believe in this brand. We fight, we grind, we try to motivate, we try to do the best we can. For that, we believe in TICDA. Today, I can do anything. Today, you can do anything. And if our parents can do anything, so can you. And for that, if you want, we're going to name our sports fans that listen to us the TICDA Warriors. So we're open for submissions. If you want to send us submissions about what it is that how you embrace this moniker, then go ahead and email us at thedecrossbros@hotmail.com and send us in your submissions, and then we'll get it over to TICDA, and we'll get you some apparel, we'll get you these wristbands, whatever we can get you guys for showing your support for being a TICDA Warrior and showcasing everything about what the Warriors mean. In the meantime, UFC on Fox 19. Huge coming up. Be right back after this.
Excelsior in Paris Rex. Live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, we are back, everybody. You're listening live right now to the DuCross Brothers of Sports Warriors. We are on Facebook Live right now. We are also on Blog Talk Radio. We were supposed to be on YouTube, but I guess YouTube's having a little bit of technical difficulties today.
So we decided to jump over to Facebook Live and test out what the heck Facebook Live is.
So this is our first time doing this, and it's on our phone. So trying out new things, new avenues. But you know what? Before we go into it, I just want to touch on it because one of our guys wanted to post it on Facebook. So if you want to join the chat, go for it. But Manilo Hurricane Hernandez wants to know, would you rather have Joe Rogan and Misha Tate or Cyborg and Ariana Celeste in a three-way? I think it's pretty self-explanatory which way you would go. So if I have to explain that, I guess I will. I'd rather go Cyborg and Celeste than Joe Rogan and Misha Tate. That's just a little off-centered to me,
right?
So I'll go that way, and I think everybody else that's chatting on Facebook right now will tend to agree to go that way. If you say Joe Rogan and Misha Tate, you kind of got a little bit more of an issue, unless you're a woman. Then I can completely see that.
Maybe Manilo likes the Joe Rogan and Misha Tate thing over Cyborg thing.
But, Sean, we look at UFC on Fox. We've already heard about the Ultimate Fighter tryouts being canceled, and one of our boys was supposed to go for the tryouts. Now, unfortunately, with the circumstances that it's been canceled, this, to me, again, you're looking at what the UFC's done. To me, it's almost like it's putting a black eye right now on the UFC Fox 19, on the Ultimate Fighter, because here you have several MMA fighters that have literally set up GoFundMe pages, other Kickstarters pages to try to get hotel rooms, to train, everything to get to the Ultimate Fighter tryouts, and now you're going to cancel that. And then you got UFC on Fox 19, which basically you should just cancel at this point because Tony Ferguson versus Khabib isn't happening anymore. And then you're looking at the, and I'll talk about the cancellation in a minute. But when you're looking at the cancellation of the Ultimate Fighter, you're looking at the UFC on Fox 19 card, and I mean you lost Tony Ferguson to the Khabib, then you go out of your way to pick a guy that shouldn't even be in the spotlight right now to fight against Khabib on short notice, and also then on top of that, make it a catchweight. To me, that's a problem because you're trying to save a card that lost Tony Ferguson, Lyoto Machida, Dan Henderson. Then you bump up Beth Cuella up to the main event card, bump up John Dodson's fight.
No, they didn't bump him
no,
up.
No, they bumped him up to the main event on Fight Pass. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute because, like, I don't understand how you even do that. But then you also then, with the Lyoto Machida fight being off the card, you take Cub Swanson versus Diaz and throw them up into the main, but yet you still leave John Dodson on the bottom feed card. And I'm trying to think about how do you get from this point of your career, and like you and I, we spoke about it. John Dodson lost to Demetrius Johnson twice, and I get that. But, dude, he is relegated to Fight Pass. When you lose to Demetrius Johnson twice,
right?
It makes sense. So when you've got to reevaluate yourself and get back to the drawing board, you know, you've got to do what you can, and you've got to try to produce at a high caliber fighter that you are. And then John Dodson, I swore that instead of bumping up to the Fight Pass headliner, that he should have been bumped up to the main card because of the fact of everything that he's done for the UFC, for the fact that he's such a good fighter. He's entertaining to the masses. To see that he's relocated right now to Fight Pass, yeah, I get it. You want to see more out of it, but you just got to chalk it up to it is what it is and make the most out of your opportunities. But when you see a fight card like UFC on Fox take so many hits that you sit back and you're like, well, why is this even worthy of watching it as a fight fan? It's not worthy of watching as a fight fan. When you looked at it initially and you saw Rashad Evans, Glover Teixeira, when you saw everybody
Lyle Machida, Dan Henderson, Kahib, Tony Ferguson versus Khabib, you thought this card, Tisha Torres was on this card. You thought, amazing card. On Fox 19? Sure, why not? Grab a beer, sit, and watch the fight wherever it may be.
But yet, you're losing fighters on this card, and to save it to be noteworthy, I don't think you can. And to the cancelization of the Ultimate Fighter, from what I know and from what I've heard, is that it's been a contract issue with the hotel that allowed them, that did not allow them to hold the casting tryouts there due to other venues happening at that time and at that hotel. So that's why they have it's weird because they use the word cancel, but for me, I've just heard that it's been postponed until they could get everything all ironed out. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't 100% confirm, but that is what I'm hearing right now from my sources, is that it says that it is a contract issue with the hotel. That is it. When did it go left turn from what we were just talking about? Because everybody in the chat room wants to know what's going on with the Ultimate Fighter.
Yes. So I just had to talk about that.
UFC has not come out and legitimately explained as to why they've canceled. I'm going by just what I've been able to dig in and dive and try to network my way around, and that's what I've gotten, is that it's been a hotel contract issue. That is it.
Well, then that's good for them.
It is nothing. It's nothing that pertains to what the UFC have done. It has nothing to do with any other issues outside of complications with the hotel and whatever is going on at that time. That's the issue that they ran into. So unfortunately, they had to put a pause and put a stamp on it and say, dude, we're going to have to cancel it until we can figure out either A, another home, another hotel, and go from there. But that's what's going on with the Ultimate Fighter, why it was canceled, why it was postponed. So canceled, postponed, whatever you want to call it. That's what's up. That's what's going on with that situation. So all we could say is that all the fighters, like I said, is that you guys just got to be patient, because it's not 100% put on the back burner. So in my eyes, the word cancelization is not right, but it's the UFC, and when they call it quits until they can find a new home, I guess that's why they use the word cancel, right? Oh, yeah. Because it's like, well, we don't have a home, we don't have a venue for it, so we're just going to cancel it right now. That's not to me, because there's other avenues that are going floating around that I would have just used the word postponed until whatever they're looking for, a new home, because that's really what they are looking for. They need to just lock down a venue, lock down a hotel, and there's a little bit more that went into this whole entire thing. So that's what's going on with the Ultimate Fighter. So that's what I've heard from all the fighters that I have in contact with. So just be patient at this point in time, because it should still happen, but they just need to get.
And Manolo, I hope that your guys are still able to get into that casting call and do quite well on the Ultimate Fighter, because it is for the flyweights, the little guys, the quicksters. Maybe this will bring back the intrigue to the Ultimate Fighter, is getting the guys that are a little bit more athletic, a little bit more quick, a little bit more agile, and entertaining to the fight fans. Because the last
last three seasons of The Ultimate Fighter has been suspect at best.
Well, that's because Dana White is no longer invested in The Ultimate Fighter. Like, we are at Ultimate Fighter 24.
It's just like everybody is so sick and tired of, you have UFC 200 coming up. You have UFC on Fox 19 coming up. You have their number. They have like a show like every single day. I think everybody started to get just like, dude, we're done. We're over this. Like, you have no time to build up stars. So I think that in order for the Tough Enough 24 to be what it once was, is I think that they need to strongly take a look at bringing Dana White to get his hands on the product itself, because that's when it was good. That's when you had the Stephon Bonners. That's when you had the Forrest Griffiths. That's what made the sport so good to bring it back. But now you're at this point where it's just like, it's The Ultimate Fighter. Like, I'm in this industry for a long time. The good thing about The Ultimate Fighter is that it still gives the ability for young fighters to still get noticed, to still push forward. That's the good thing with The Ultimate Fighter still. Still gets people going, yeah, I want to go there.
Right.
We have a guy on there that we've interviewed on our show, Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately,
that's going to be on this upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter.
But he's a guy that nobody wanted to fight him, and it's hard to find him a fight. And he simply said that this is the only avenue that he had to take was to go on to The Ultimate Fighter. That's where this fight game is going, though. Because free agency is a big thing. Ultimate Fighter is still, whether you like it or not, it's still a big thing. When you look at the gyms, like 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, the San Diego Fight Academy, when you're looking at Team Arena, when you're looking at, you know, other fight organizations that are out here, Victory MMA, when you're looking at all these pieces and all these gyms, you don't have a lot of fighters that are going to just strictly jump right into UFC or right into Bellator, because either A, you don't get the fight matchups that you need, or you don't get the amount of fights that you actually do need to turn pro. You know, or Alex Trinidad, he just turned pro and he's on the Gladiator Challenge. Ryan Lilly on the Gladiator Challenge. So, unfortunately, there's so many times that you actually get put into a spot where you don't have anything really to live up to. So you have to grind and hustle and do a little bit more. That's why we honestly believe in today I can do anything. So do these guys. But when you're looking at UFC on Fox 19, you're seeing all the dropouts, all the changes, the revisions continue to happen. It is going to be an interesting UFC on Fox 19, and I don't think that it's going to garner that much recognition at this point due to the fact that, who do you have left on the card that is relatively of any importance? And that's what you and I were talking about earlier today, was that now we get back on topic for a second and talk about UFC on Fox 19. There is nobody. Rashad Evans, Glover Teixeira, aging 36-year-olds. Do they really even have title aspirations at this point? What type of Rashad Evans are we going to see in this fight? Are we going to see the old school Rashad Evans that he can channel his early 2000s, like a la Junior Dos Santos did this past weekend? Can he dig deep? Or are we going to continue to see this aging, slower, not so precise, athletic Rashad Evans?
Right.
Or are we going to go ahead and see him just get dismantled by Glover Teixeira? Glover Teixeira at 36 years old is still an aggressive striker. He still brings it to the fight every time out, win, lose, or draw. So when you look at this fight, it almost seems to favors Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira is still a good striker. Rashad Evans has been beaten by strikers because he lets his guard down. He doesn't attack as aggressively as he used to do. He doesn't grind anymore. everything says Glover Teixeira. But you also look at the light heavyweight division. It's an aging division. There's not a lot of top contenders. Could Glover Teixeira so happily sneak back into a title contention? Maybe. If he beats Rashad Evans so convincingly. I see that Rashad Evans could potentially get knocked out in the first round. That's how convinced I am that Rashad Evans needs to retire at the end of his year. Rashad Evans is at the point of his career where he didn't even know the direction that he was going in his career and what it, where it was started to take him after his loss to Bones Jones. That's ultimately when he started second-guessing his own career, trying to justify about why he was leaving the Black Zillion, or what was behind that. This is a man that is still is trying to regather his sense of well-being and an understanding of where he is going. Glover Teixeira reminds me a lot of JDS. Junior Dos Santos just put on a one heck of a performance, Sean. Heck of a performance against Ben Rothwell. I think Glover Teixeira can do the exact same thing against Rashad Evans. I don't doubt that for a second. That's something that could so happen. And when you watch this fight card, that's the only thing I'm watching for is how that main event goes. Because quite frankly, everything else is just, it's there. It's another UFC card that's just there. At least when you go across the bow and you look at Bellator 152, at least that's entertaining. At least you know you have something at the end of the line for that, which we will get to that just here in a few moments. Sean, everybody's listening right now to the DeCross Brothers Sports Warriors. We are on Facebook Live. As we are having technical difficulties with the YouTube TV, so we decided to try out Facebook Live. And we are also repping our new sponsor's gears, Ticta. Today, I can do anything. See? If you can see it. Right there. Ticta. That's our new sponsor. We are brought to you by Ticta. Today, I can do anything. You can hit them up at www.ticta.co and check out all their brands. Support our movement with them. And in the meantime, Sean and Tristan DeCross, the Sports Warriors, right here on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook. Should have been on YouTube, but not today. And in the meantime, kickboxing, MMA, one card again. Good, bad. Bellator 152, right around the corner. Stay tuned for more combat sports talk with your boys, the Sports Warriors.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to FanboyNation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DeCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DeCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, we are back. So, fight fans, people, TikTok Warriors, unite, right? Guess that was kind of corny. But, so, we are back right here on Facebook. You can join us in the chat room, talk to us, because apparently this is a little bit more active than we anticipated.
Right.
So, fight fans.
Granted, it only says that we have four viewers, but, I mean, we got people that are joining all up and right, left and right on this thing. So
fight fans.
Not exactly sure how this works.
Join us. And let's talk sports. Let's talk combat sports. You can also listen to us on blogtalkradio.com. So, Bellator 152 is right around the corner. Coming up this weekend.
and it'll feature MMA and kickboxing. Something that's a little bit different. We've seen it done before in other promotions. We've seen Bellator attempt this with Bellator Dynamite. What will make this one so much different in their approach than what they did with Dynamite that will make this one so much more successful? Can it be as successful as Dynamite? Even though many people around the community said that it was not successful. They did not like Dynamite. To each their own. But when you look at this, Bellator 152 takes place in Italy. That's interesting, right? You can't expect to see anything different than what you saw on Dynamite, except for a little bit lower scale. But this is interesting because of the fact that you've got Patricky Pitbull versus Kevin Souza. Yes, Kevin Souza. You're wondering who Kevin Souza is and why Patricky is facing him. I get it. So you look at this, and it's the second opponent change for Patricky Pitbull, dude. Second. And this one just comes on days ahead of his scheduled fight. Yo, dude. Patricky better be ready to just drop bombs. Because he's going to need to do his best to knock off a guy that is hungry. That came from the UFC. That is 3-1. That was on a 3-fight win streak. Didn't so happily get cut after he lost his first fight.
Right?
This guy will stand there and bang with the best of them. Just like Patricky. Patricky is the Jekyll and Hyde of the brothers. At least Patricio, you know exactly what you're getting with him 90% of the time. Straight up goon. Straight up brawler. That dude will wreck your face. Wreck your face, take your name, bury you in the back, just like a pit bull. All this is very true. But Tricky, though, is tricky. But
I was going to start the little movement with the Tricky song, but yeah, never mind. Not happening.
But Sean, Sousa's moving up in weight, though. Wouldn't you to get your opportunity at a fight? Especially
Benson Henderson did.
Hey, dude, I'll move up to 170 and I'll take on a title fight.
See?
Sousa jumps ship and goes, hey, dude, I'll move up in weight to take on a fight.
Right.
More the power to them, you know? You step up, you think you could take on the brothers of the Pitbull brothers and actually showcase your own talent? Bravo. Give you all the power in the world to do that. But it bodes one interesting situation because this is a short notice fight for Sousa, and I get it. But when you're looking at Patricky Pitbull, Sean, he hasn't fought to a point where he has won back-to-back fights against short notice opponents like this before. So does Patricky Pitbull have that mean right hook that just absolutely took the head off Ryan Couture and had Ryan Couture leaving out on a stretcher? Could that be the same fate for Sousa? It could very well be. And when you're dealing with what's going on with that fight card, I can't wait to see what's going to happen on this one because this is going to be straight fireworks. But the other one that you cannot forget is the fact that you still got AJ McKee on this fight card against a guy named Danilo. I would try to pronounce his last name, but my apologies. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to butcher it, so I'm just saving you.
Why? I'm just going to say Hooked on Phonics, and I'm going to say that it's Belluardo.
Bellardo?
Bellardo. Going to go with Bellardo.
But when you look at that, and you look at that fight intrigues me the most. And I know that's not what you have on your notes. But that's what I have on my nose because of the fact that AJ McKee is 3-0. And when it comes to this guy, he doesn't show any true weaknesses.
He is the son of Antonio McKee.
Exactly.
Whatever he has done with his son has taken him to another level.
Exactly. I mean, he's won by a submission. He's won by a knee. He's won by a punch. The guy straight up annihilates his opponents in 3 fights.
And have you seen a guy that size, that strong,
and that quick and that agile? No. Quite frankly, I've not seen it in quite some time. So when you look at Antonio McKee Jr., or AJ McKee, and you're looking at what he's gone on and he's accomplished, Danilo has done the exact same thing in Italy. He's from Italy. He's from that backyard.
That's
he's just as dominant, but he has not faced the caliber of fighters that AJ McKee has fought stateside. So this could go either way. This is a strategic placement for AJ McKee. What I don't get is why Bellator is willing to put against AJ McKee a guy that has the top-level prospect attached to his name as well.
Right.
But is it doing that for Michael Venom Page?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, they are. Bellator has been so protective over Michael Venom Page, but yet they have seriously a star in AJ McKee, and you're putting him against a guy like Bellardo, who, if anybody has ever seen Bellardo's fight, this guy is a stand-and-bang guy, and he doesn't care who's in front of him, what the name is. He puts on a spectacular fight. I think this is a bad matchup for AJ McKee because you're getting AJ McKee that is striving to become something, this phenomenon right now, and yet you're looking at him versus Bellardo, and I just don't like this matchup on paper.
For who?
For AJ McKee.
For AJ McKee.
Because you believe that with the home crowd behind him, Danilo can go ahead and shock the world and knock off and get like a guy like AJ McKee.
Right.
You're slightly insane.
AJ McKee is going to have his hand raised and he's going to win that fight and he's going to go to 4-0. You're going to see a rising star that nobody's really heard about, but you're going to remember the name AJ McKee. He's the future, and Bellator is starting to develop their own grassroots fighters. While on top of that, having these guys at the top.
What about, you're talking about growing in the grassroots. What about now Bellator all of a sudden taking on the women's MMA and making it a focal point by having two women fights on this card? One, the debut of the flyweight division, and then also having a featherweight fight. I think it's great. It's what Scott Coker does. Scott Coker is a genius.
And Anastasia Yankova is on this card, and she's pretty good to look at.
Right.
She's like Bellator's Misha Tate. Or what people are going to say, Ronda Rousey, you know.
I don't like Ronda Rousey.
I get that.
She looks like the baby from Hills. No. Or like the dude from Hills. No. Misha Tate, Yankova, sure. But,
whoo,
I'm just saying, you can market that. And you just hope that Scott Coker markets her just like he did with Gina Carano. The only downside, though, is that she doesn't really speak any English from what I've seen.
Correct.
It's like, man, if she could really speak English, she'd be so much hotter.
Everybody would be like, oh.
Just say, uh-huh. Yup. But she's facing a girl named Pink. She's debuting the flyweight division. It's a promotional debut. All I'm expecting from these two is that because it's the flyweight division, it's the debut of the division. It's the debut of Yankova. Expect fireworks from these two. I'm almost saying that this fight could be the fight of the night because this is the debut of a new flyweight division for the women.
Absolutely.
So you're looking for more women fighters to continue to grow in Bellator. These two are going to put on that fight, going to put on that showcase for them.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what Bellator does in the future and going forward for the women's fighting division and see how smart Coker is again with branding the women and putting them into fights that's going to be successful for them, both for the women and for Bellator. Because again, like our boys from Fight Book, Roberto and I have said it 1,000 times, Scott Coker's a mad scientist. I've been right about 9% of the time every time I mention Scott Coker and what he does.
Dude, we got to give a shout-out to our boy, Chris Cope. He's He's out there watching us right now, so I just got to go, woo! That's for Chris Coe. With the lead, with Bellator 152 happening, like you said, it's Bellator and kickboxing. Bellator MMA is going to be the lead into the kickboxing show, which is weird. But Bellator is returning to the, again, the grassroots of what Scott Coker was all about originally. Kickboxing was his baby.
But yeah, he got into MMA and started Strikeforce.
But can we just call him like the Pinky and the Brain? Like, what are you trying to do? Take over the world?
Yes, because that's exactly what he's trying to do. One step at a time.
This guy has created, not only has he created Bellator kickboxing, not only has he taken Bellator MMA to newer heights, you've got to give the man props because one guy I told you that I could not believe that I saw on the card, and my mind is just, oh my God, is Kevin Ross is on the card. If you want to see bloody, if you want to see elbows and blood, dude, this guy has elbows for days. Kevin Ross, insane.
If you haven't been to a Muay Thai fight to see Kevin Ross, you're missing out because Kevin Ross is a straight up beast. And you're putting him basically in his own field against another guy. You just don't want to stand in the way of Kevin Ross. If he can make his debut and be successful in kickboxing, you're going to need to watch out for Kevin Ross.
And then, I'm getting giddy. I'm super excited for this.
What did I say? Roberto, I've said this before, and you've listened to a lot of our shows. You should know this.
Then speaking out.
You should know this. What's one guy I've said that should be on Bellator kickboxing? Or should get his name a little bit more out there?
He was on Glory.
Or maybe he still is signed with Glory.
Maybe.
That is the man known as Raymond the Highline Reel Daniels.
If you ain't seen kicks before, oh, look on YouTube for Raymond Daniels, because, I mean, dude, this guy has kicks that you ain't never seen in a fight before.
And I say that Spike TV needed to go ahead and build this guy up because he's a rising star with flashy styles that'll make anything entertaining like a video game. Raymond Daniels is going to put on a show for the fans on Bellator 152. If that's all you tune in for, just tune in for Raymond Daniels and Kevin Ross.
Telling you, you might just throw out the Bellator 152 talk and just gear up for Bellator kickboxing and the promotional debut of Raymond Daniels and Kevin Ross, because these guys are legitimate beasts and names that people need to start taking an understanding of what they are in the fight game. Because the stand-up game, I'm telling you right now, dude, the stand-up game, it's changing the landscape of what MMA was. Like, everybody talked about how MMA was the greatest thing since sliced bread, remember?
Yeah.
But now the most exciting events are some that we have covered. Lion Fight, Glory, all these are stand-up and bang fights. They have higher ratings right now than MMA. Scott Coker, being a genius, knows that. Hint why he created Bellator Kickboxing.
And when you've got...
And now he doesn't have to have another company with him. He can brand his own Dynamite, because, dude, that Glory and Bellator thing went so sideways.
When you look at what Spike TV is doing with their fight shows, with Jimmy Smith, everybody else on Spike TV for their fights that are going on there, it made sense that when they support Bellator MMA and put everything they've got behind Bellator MMA, it was only then that you knew Bellator kickboxing was about to come at some point when basically you get brand off. You saw TNA try to do that years ago when they tried to do with the wrestlers and then their women wrestlers. It failed for them. You hope that is not the same outcome for Bellator that they failed with kickboxing underneath their own umbrella. But their title's legit.
It looks like TNA's world title. It looks legit. It looks like TNA's world title. It's legit. WWE TNA.
But, dude, you've got Melvin Manoff that's on this card. You have Haida versus Kanji for the ISK 165 title. Can't get better than that for your first debut on a Bellator kickboxing card. Can't get better than that. I wouldn't push it that far, Roberto. Is that I wouldn't say that, you know, boxing is on its way. I think let's just keep it to MMA and kickboxing. Because they do, Spike TV does have PBC. Spike TV lost kickboxing when Glory left ESPN2. Yeah. So this was their way of bringing on another branch of Bellator because they've got so much faith. I don't think they're going to go outside of that box yet.
Right, and I also don't think that with boxing the way that it is right now, I don't see boxing being a money-driven sport because you just saw that the Timothy Bradley as well as Manny Pacquiao pay-per-views did not draw. So it didn't draw anything on the pay-per-views, didn't make any sale. And PBC, like you said, Golden Boy Promotions, all out there. I don't see that Bellator can have the backing for boxing.
Want to know what's interesting? Okay, you just talked about boxing. It was just mentioned on Facebook to us about boxing. But here's something for you. Is that as we go ahead and we start to round out the show now. So you've got Amir Khan, who's in MMA now. But did you hear who also wants to come into MMA?
Once again, Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather, not saying he wants to participate in MMA.
He wants to be a promoter of the sport.
Like, whoa, dude, pump your brakes.
How about you strive to actually make boxing better with Golden Boy Promotions than actually saying, well, I can run a MMA organization.
No, you cannot. He probably could with the money that he has, but I just don't see.
But how about he help out boxing first?
Exactly. I don't see why you would want to change your focus. You should be helping and putting everything you got into boxing like Oscar De La Hoya has done. Is that when you've got Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions putting on fights with Canelo and Amir Khan and David Lemieux, the list goes on. When you've got those guys going strong, when you have PBC going strong, you've got to look at that as saying, you know what, I need to get on that. But you don't hear about Floyd Mayweather going, you know what, I'll help you out.
Right.
I'll do something. I'll promote boxing. One time he promotes is when he promotes himself. Like, yo, dude, help out the community that you're in. Help them out. Help you.
Right.
Why do you want to go? I'm going to go. I should get into MMA. Like, no. Just get boxing back to where it needs to be so people go ahead and get entertained. Because not many people are talking about boxing still. Is it higher than what it was before? No doubt. But when you look at it, it's still not where it needs to be.
So let's pause real quick before we start talking about Mayweather jumping the ship and going into MMA as a promoter. Let's focus on breathing new life into boxing.
Yeah.
And getting it established first back where it once was than where it is currently.
Correct. And like it was Golden Boy Promotion has LA Fight Club that features up and coming fighters. Because that's what Oscar De La Hoya does.
Correct.
He to help build him.
And he's the one that is developing, you know, the fight cards where it's not just one main event. The undercard is also a second main event. So that's something that I like because, like, David Lemieux is on the undercard of the current fight on the Canelo fight.
See,
so,
and that's the thing that interests
that's
me.
That's smart.
Is that when David Lemieux had his fight against Gennady Golovkin.
Yep.
What did I say? That they would not get the ratings they would deserve because of the fact that not a lot of people know them, so they should have had everybody under basically a main event and a co-main event. Well, now you basically have that with Canelo and Amir Khan.
Because you draw interest.
Exactly. So people who like Lemieux from Canada is going to tune in to this fight, so that's going to help you with ratings. And on top of that, it's just great for boxing. What was not great for boxing is the fact that you had Manny Pacquiao versus Timothy Bradley that once again did not draw. It goes to show that Manny Pacquiao is not the one guy that draws people, and that what got them the ratings was Floyd Mayweather's ability to talk and promote himself, and the inability for Manny Pacquiao to carry the torch. Manny Pacquiao showed flashes in that fight of his old school days, but then retired at the end of the fight.
Which is smart.
But you got two aging guys that nobody really cared about nor knew about anymore, except for Manny Pacquiao. Of course that was going to bomb. Why were you surprised that it didn't, but that it bombed?
That it was any different than what it was? You know, Timothy Bradley did not fight anybody up until Manny Pacquiao because he wanted that fight against Manny Pacquiao. He lost to Manny the first time.
And he was hoping that he would get another good payday, another good ratings, and it would jumpstart him all over again. It just
didn't
work out that way.
No.
So you've got to look at the drawing board and figure out what's the next best move for Timothy Bradley, even though Timothy Bradley says, you know what, I'm going to come back. But want to know what's a good move? It's in the game.
I know what you're talking about.
UFC has announced that this Stockton slap is in the game. But if you've watched Nate Diaz and how he approaches the Stockton slap, it's just a little slap. Like, he annoys you with it. But if you watch the video of the Stockton slap in UFC 2, the video game, it's a full-fledged slap, dude. Right? He, like, hauls up like it's coming across like a hook and just slaps you. There is no Stockton slap about it. So I can't figure out if that was done intentionally
for the game
to be that dramatic, or the fact that it's just there. You were supposed to bring up baby powder.
Yeah, forgot about the baby powder. I was going to say, Sean thought that it would be cool that he would do a pimp slap, pour a little baby powder on his hand, and that's what he's talking about.
Because it looked like a pimp slap, just not backhanded. I get that.
Straight across.
Like Stephanie McMahon stuff.
Really?
Yeah, really. That's how that slap looks. I mean, go side by side and get a video of Stephanie McMahon doing slaps across her WWE era and then put the Stockton slap against that. And I bet you 10-1, you'll be quite surprised and see the comparisons between the two.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, he comes from the hip area and goes right across the face.
So, when you look at the Stockton slap, I think that it's over dramatic in a game.
Because it's a game.
But adding the patch to it and adding the Stockton slap, I give it an A for an effort.
I just want to go ahead and get the game now just because
Nate Diaz. Just so you can slap somebody?
So you can have a party with your boys and sit there playing a game and you're Nate Diaz and you just start slapping the crap out of people. And then you
stop slapping me!
And it's just
it is funny.
Bam! And it would just be as annoying as if you're on the other end of actually taking a Stockton slap. Because you know that's what happened with Conor McGregor.
I told you that it was annoying to watch Conor McGregor get slapped over and over and over again. And I would have freaking got pissed off and just attacked him just like Conor did.
Exactly.
And now you're telling me that in the video game you can actually slap your buddies around while you're sitting right there going, hey, I'm just going to slap you all day. Slap you.
It's like when you were playing that boxing game,
right? The Mike Tyson game where all you have to do is go right hook, right hook, right hook, right hook.
Or the other boxing games like Fight Night.
Fight Night, right?
And then you just load up with your left hook and just drop left hooks after left hooks after left hooks. It's just like load up with the Stockton slap. Slap, slap, slap. Keep going. You know it's coming. Just go ahead and block it.
That's just going to be the new cheat thing. Just slap the dude.
Right? You better just hope that the patch that they put in to put the Stockton slap in.
Right.
You can't do that.
But we also want to touch on before we get out of here is that we just want to send our condolences to the Cavallo family. They lost their son over the weekend, Charlie Ward versus Cavallo. Everybody's seen the video of it. Whether the ref should have stopped it sooner, I don't know. We have a couple ref boys that has seen the footage that would like a little bit more information on it. But Cavallo did not complain of headaches, did not complain about anything except for that he was a little bit tired.
It's just like what happened with Nick Blackwell,
right?
Nick Blackwell and Eubanks Jr. got into it. nobody saw happening to Nick Blackwell, and he ended up in an induced coma. So it kind of goes hand in hand with that, and you just hope that stuff like this doesn't happen in the future, that it was just a freak accident, and then it doesn't happen. But it did, so we send our condolences.
Absolutely.
To the family. They lost one of their own. The MMA community lost one of their own.
But don't give Charlie Ward any more, you know what, any more crap. Because it's happened. It's part of fighting. Every single time you step into that cage, you put your own life on the line. To send death threats or threaten Charlie Ward, please don't do that. It is not warranted. You know, unfortunately, if you're going to put blame on somebody, the blame goes solely on the ref, not on the fighter. Let's be real about that. You should have stopped it sooner. But rest in peace, Cavallo. Our condolences out to the family. We are the Sports Warriors. We do this every Wednesday. You can check us out on www.thehotspotshow.com. Blog Talk Radio. We usually are on YouTube. We're on Twitter at the Duke Cross Bros. So if you want to talk mixed martial arts, go ahead. If you're following us on Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross, like our fan page, Ducross Brothers. Till next time, we're out.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducross.